Hello, and welcome to another episode of As I See It, an umpire podcast. I am your host, Joe Sweeney. I am an IHSA registered official. I am actually registered in my sixth year. I had to work that into the title. And I'm fairly new umpire in the regards that this is really my third full season in junior high, and not worked a whole lot of games. Either at the high school level. So I still consider myself fairly new and learning. And that's kind of the whole idea behind this podcast is what I've learned and mistakes I make along the way and things I learn along the way. In this episode, we are going to talk about the remaining summer games that I had worked that had some things of note in them to talk about. The second segment, we're going to do some interviews with some summer league umpires. These young ladies umpired the 8 and 10U girls softball in our local league. And the final segment in this episode will talk about the start of the summer ball. We will talk about the start of the junior high softball and baseball season here in the state of Illinois. In our first segment today, we're going to talk about some games that I had this summer, or at least finishing up the summer rec ball season in our local area. My main intention this summer was to focus on good timing, as I call balls and strikes. Most of the games that I work, I do end up working plate, which is good because that's kind of where you make a name for yourself as an umpire. At least you kind of gain a reputation one way or the other, and hopefully it's in the end, it's a good one. The main thing I wanted to work on was timing, basically watching the ball all the way to the glove. And I know that I've talked about in the past, that's where I feel I'm most consistent at. There's another podcast that I listen to by Jerry Davis, a longtime professional umpire who is now retired. It's called 12 for 12, an umpire podcast. He talks about when early on when he struggled, he had one thing he could do before he'd call a ball and a strike, and that would be to make sure that he saw the ball hit the glove. So that was kind of my main focus point this summer. And I feel like in the last couple of games, I really started to get a handle on being consistent with watching the ball in the glove. And ultimately, that makes me more consistent calling balls and strikes. And that's really what our goal is, to be consistent. I mean, we want to get balls and strikes right, but we just want to get them consistent. So at last couple games, I feel like I got better with that. And we'll talk a little bit about that. There was a situation that we had in a 10U tournament. And this is 10U boys. This was a game that I was working solo. We had a rain out, and we were kind of had of a shortage of umpires. So I was working the game solo. There was a play that kind of got misunderstood by one of the coaches, or at least this is a rule that's kind of misunderstood. The batter swung at the pitch, hit the ball. It hit the plate, and it basically died. And it died in the corner of the batter's box. As I'm calling from standing behind the pitcher. I do my best to get up to see it and call it fair as quickly as I can, but the location that the ball stopped at was in the corner of the batter's box. I don't know if this was something that was not called correctly in another area, another town with this team, but the coach kind of came out and questioned, and we kind of met at the plate, and I had to explain to him that the ball was in fair territory. He thought even just because it was in the box that would make it a dead ball or a foul ball. And so these are the type, there are some obscure rules that, or plays that happen that kind of have some misconceptions with coaches, especially with fans. But I did explain to him the rule and saw a former player of mine whose kid played on the team. And he was grateful that, that I was able to explain it, and he said he had the same issue in a travel ball game the weekend before, and it was actually called correctly. So he was grateful for the explanation. In summer ball, kind of the main thing that I try to to emphasize with our younger umpires is game management and time management. And a lot of times, if you are just not careful, or if you don't enforce the timing of the game or the time rules, the time limit rules, games can tend to get out of hand. And this is especially true, I've seen with younger umpires, because they have to go over and let the coach know, who is typically an adult, an older adult, when these girls are 16 or around this age, and or the young men are 16, that but I stress to them managing their games. And I did a pretty good job this year. I had gotten to one of my last games. It was a 15U boys game, and I had mentioned to my partner, we had talking about some long games and that he had had, and I mentioned to him that I didn't have a game go over time limit this year. And it just so happens that game that we were playing in, it went a little long. It went quite long. I think it ended up being 45 minutes over time limit because the game remained tied. There were 3 minutes left at the end of the inning. And, it's one of those games as an umpire, you're looking at your watch, hoping that we can get our third out after time limit, but that wasn't the way it worked out. And, as an umpire, you got to go into it not really in that kind of mindset, but understanding that you're there for the kids, you're there for them to learn and play the game and have fun, and it's okay if it goes. So it was the first one I had go over, and it went over by quite a bit, about 45 minutes. One of the games that I had was a 15U boys game, and the coaches weren't very happy with the strike zone. I was on bases, and I had a coach come out to me and start asking me about a strike zone, and this is something that I learned very early on, that we're the third team on the field. The umpires are the third team on the field. And regardless of what I think of the strike zone, it really doesn't matter because it's my partner's strike zone. And I think the coach was trying to get me to give my opinion on the strike zone. But I told him that the strike zone belonged to my partner. He's the one that calls, it's judgment calls. And I told him that he probably shouldn't be arguing balls and strikes, especially with him. And I told him that that's the quickest way that's going to get him thrown out of the game. And I think he just wanted to vent a little bit about what he thought about the strike zone, and really coming to me wasn't going to do him any good. I'm not overruling any of the balls and strikes that my partner calls, whether I think they're good or bad or indifferent. It doesn't really matter. That's his strike zone, and I'm there to do my job, and he's got his job to do. And so that's kind of the way it goes. So as far as balls and strikes go, we all struggle with that at times. I'm not sure if he was struggling that night or not, but it really doesn't matter. Another game that I had, which was probably the last one that I had this season, and it was a 13U boys game, and we were playing under the Fed rule set, NFHS rule set, which is the case with all of these, and there weren't really any league applicable rules or league rules that would supersede NFHS. Sometimes they have those, but I went into this game. When I got the call or the text to do this game, I was kind of hoping that I wouldn't know anybody in the game as far as coaches or players. It was in the next town over, and at the age group that it was going to be, I thought, all right, there's a really good chance that I won't know them. But as it turns out, I knew both coaches and fairly well. One of them I coached travel ball with, and the other coach was a player of mine back when I was in my early coaching days. I was about 19, and he was a player of mine. His son was the catcher, and one of the first things he says to me when he got to the plate was, "Hey, I listened to your podcast." So I thought that was kind of neat in a way, but at the same time, I said, "So I guess you know then how I call balls and strikes because I've talked about on this podcast before about the methods I use and the things that I work on about calling balls and strikes, seeing the ball to the glove, and kind of the zone I've talked about in the past that I've been taught and kind of helps to remain consistent." So he kind of knew how to stick his pitches and knew what to expect. And so I guess being in a small town or a small area, maybe this podcast, maybe gave them an advantage. I guess anybody can listen to it, and it's really no secret. This is nothing that I would hide. If anybody asks me how to call balls and strikes or how I call balls and strikes, I'd be glad to tell them. So in this game, I did have one kind of not really a botched play, but a play that I kind of got some feedback or pushback from coaches and fans a little bit. We had one player that wasn't real confident in the box, we'll just say that, and his swings that he took were a little bit late and a little bit sheepish. He took a swing on one after the ball was already in the catcher's glove and the catcher was throwing down to I think third base where there was a steal, and the catch and the batter kind of halfway swung, maybe not. But it wasn't the first time he'd been at the plate, and I kind of knew the situation with him, and I didn't call it a strike because by that time he really hadn't offered at the pitch. He was really late on it, so I didn't feel like he offered on it. And when I was asked what the count was, I told him that was a ball. Got a little bit of pushback from the coaches and obviously in the stands. With he swung, which yeah, maybe he did, but being that it was summer ball and it was rec league, and a lot of these kids, they're really not going to ever play much beyond summer league. So the catcher looked at me and he appealed. So I asked my partner, I said, "Did he swing?" And he said he did. So we were good on that one. So that was one of those interesting ones that I never really kind of had to deal with. It was one of those kind of summer ball judgment calls that, sometimes you want kids to learn, you want kids to have fun. There's really nothing at stake here. I mean, it was the championship game of this league. So anyway, that's how that one turned out. Then I did have an interesting ending to this game, and it was the same batter who you could tell was just not very comfortable in the box. And I believe he had struck out three previous times at the plate. His team had a runner on third with two outs, and he sort of made an offer at the pitch. He kind of swung at it. The ball hit his bat anyway as he stuck it out, and I think it was as much a surprise to him as it was to kind of everybody else. And the runner from third comes home. As the pitcher fields the ball, I think he made an error. It was just one of those yips, and he tossed the ball to first base, and I think his team was really ecstatic that he kind of had the walk off. It was a 10-run rule game. It wasn't a close one, but it was the winning hit that pushed the 10th run across, and he was pretty hyped up about that, and his teammates were really excited for him too. And those are the kind of things in summer ball that you just enjoy seeing. I didn't really care about the outcome of the game as far as who won. I mean, obviously, as umpires, we need to be impartial, but it was kind of good to see this kid end his game or end his season on a high note. And I think that's something that he will always remember. And that's kind of the point. That's kind of the point of summer league. And during summer league games, I have a little bit more fun, maybe interacting with the crowd, interacting with catchers. That I'll say things to catchers or have conversations with catchers that I normally wouldn't during an IHSA or a school contest, and just kind of talking about the game and things that answer their questions or give them compliments on things that they do well, and talk to them kind of about how to help the officials out with especially with catchers on sticking pitches and kind of how to do more to help themselves out and get strikes. So that's one of the main things that I enjoy. A couple of times this season, I had an older couple, two older couples sitting behind home plate as I walked onto the field. And these are one of the stories I just enjoy about summer ball that's different than school ball or high school contest. As I walk onto the field, they kind of hollered at me. The backstop was pretty close. And they said, "Hey, Blue, make sure you get them all right." And it's one of those kind of interactions where I called the first strike and there's no batters on. I turned around to him and I said, "How was that?" And they said, "That's good." So this goes kind of those interactions that make summer ball kind of fun. And this is our second segment. I've got a couple of interviews. I had some newer umpires that did some softball games for us this season in our local league. And at the beginning of the season, I asked them if they'd be willing to do some interviews. And of course, they reluctantly agreed. I think they just said they would because I asked. One of them was Sydney. She was a senior this last year that played high school ball with my daughter. It was her first year umpiring. And the second young lady that umpired for us that I interviewed, her name was Kendall. Kendall's grandpa, as we will talk about in the interview, was a long time is a long time umpire in a local area, kind of locally known. And we talk a little bit about that, but here are the interviews. Hello, and thanks for tuning in again to As I See It, an umpire podcast. We have a special treat for you today. We are interviewing some umpires that I had for this summer ball league that I have previously told you that I schedule for. With me today, I have Sydney. This was Sydney's first year umpiring with us in the league, and she did 8U and 10U. Thanks for joining us today, Sydney.
Hi, I'm Sydney. I just graduated high school. I'm going to college for nursing.
If you hear a little extra noise, it's because we are in the middle of a rain delay and an 8U softball tournament. So, Sydney, I appreciate you sitting down with us to do an interview. Let me ask you first, what made you decide you wanted to umpire?
I just felt like it would be a cool opportunity to see how they progress over the years.
Sydney, did you enjoy umpiring this year as much as you thought you would?
I did. I like to see how all the kids improved from the first game to the last game that I have umpired.
This year during your umpiring, did you ever have a play or a situation where you weren't sure if you got the rule correct?
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's a good thing. There's a lot of rules that go into the game. Sydney, I know that you've played for a number of years, seeing umpires on the field every day, every time that you play. Did you think it was easier or harder than you thought it would be?
I thought it was easier because I expected more problems from the coaches and parents.
And they didn't give you any grief or a hard time? That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Who was more competitive, the coaches or the kids?
Definitely coaches.
Really? The kids just out there having fun, aren't they?
Yeah.
Was there anything that you learned or knew through the course of the season that you wanted to improve on as an umpire?
I definitely need to improve on the timing of a call and not calling it too early.
Yeah, that's really big. That's even something that I have to work on as well. If you had any advice for a new umpire coming in next year, what would it be?
Just watch the time and be confident in your calls.
Hey, Sydney, well, I appreciate you sitting down to interview with us, and I also appreciate you umpiring for the league this year.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning back into As I See It, an umpire podcast. I have yet another interview for us. Today we have Kendall. Kendall is in her second year of umpiring. Kendall, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Kendall. This is my second year of umpiring. I just finished my freshman year of high school, and I do play a little bit of travel softball.
Thanks, Kendall, for agreeing to sit down with us for an interview. What made you decide that you wanted to umpire with us last year?
My grandpa umpires, so I thought it'd be fun to do something like that he does, and it looks fun.
Yeah, that's great. I've worked with your grandpa quite a bit. In fact, I've spoke of him in my podcast. I just didn't give his name. He kind of made fun of how I called balls and strikes one time on the softball field. But next question I'd like to ask you, did you enjoy umpiring this year?
I did. I liked watching all the little kids play. I think it's fun.
You said earlier that you have a family member, your grandpa, that is an IHSA umpire. Did he have any advice for you?
He just told me that once you make a call, you got to stick with it.
Yeah, that's pretty good advice. He's told me the same thing before, too. You've played a long time and you see umpires and you know what they do on the field. Did you think it was easier or harder than you thought?
I think it was easier than I thought it was going to be. I thought there was going to be like a lot more to it than there actually was.
Good. It sounds like they went easy on you. Did you think that the kids were more competitive or the coaches?
I think the coaches were way more competitive.
Yeah, I see that too. Was there anything that came up in the course of the season that you knew you needed to improve on?
Definitely keeping track of the time. Towards like the last inning, I'd always forget that there was a time limit, so I'd have to look through that when the coach would ask.
Yeah, that's kind of a difficult one too, especially being a young umpire. Sometimes those games can get away from us and they can get a little bit long. Kendall, a couple more here. If there was a new umpire coming in next year, would you have any advice for them?
Just have fun and be confident in your calls.
All right, well, I appreciate you umpiring for us this year, and thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you for having me.
In this final segment, I want to talk a little bit about the junior high season in the state of Illinois. Illinois has sanctioned junior high softball and baseball, as well as many other sports at the junior high level, which goes up to the eighth grade. I know some states don't have this, but in Illinois, under IHSA, the Illinois High School Association, they have two governing bodies. One of them is called the IESA, which is Illinois Elementary School Association, and the other one is called, it's kind of a long name, is the Southern Illinois Junior High School Athletic Association. Henceforth, that will be just referred to as the SIJ. The SIJ is what our local school is a part of, and most of the junior high schools in our local area are in the SIJ. There are a few that belong to the IESA, and as far as rule set goes, they both run under Fed rules, and there are probably just a couple of small differences, and whoever the host is which rule set that you go by. In Illinois, we do have a state sanctioned, and what I mean by that is they also have regionals and a state tournament, is what they call a state tournament. In the SIJ, they have one set of regional games one regional tournament before they go to state. And the way the SIJ is set up, at least in baseball and softball, I think it's pretty much the same in all of the sports, is they have three classes, a small, a medium, and a large. And in years past, and I'm not sure exactly how they still do it, but in years past, they take the largest 32 teams in the SIJ, which typically runs from, if you are familiar at all with Illinois, I-64 and south. So that's why it's called the Southern Illinois. So they take the 32 largest junior high schools or elementary schools, and they put those in the Class L. They take the next 32, and they put them in the Class M, and the remaining schools fall under the Class S. So, for instance, in the Class M or the L, they have 32 teams. They have 8 regions with 4 teams in a region, and each regional winner goes to the state tournament. And so if you take into account that there are more than 32 in the Class S, it takes a few more games to win their state tournament. And there's good competition at all levels. So as I said, the season kicked off and I had my first game tonight. I have a full schedule this year, a pretty full schedule. I have, over a period of about 5 weeks, I have about 15 games. I average about 3 games a week. Some weeks I have 4. I have a couple weeks that I have 4 games and some less. But tonight I had my first game. And it was a fairly uneventful game. I think the score ended up being 7-0. It was kind of a long game. There were a lot of base runners, and so that kind of made for a long game. And also a couple of pitching changes in there, which was fine. But I did have one play where I kind of made a mistake. It was a learning situation. There was a pickoff at first base, and the kid was actually picked off, and so he took off towards second, and now we have a rundown situation. We had a rundown situation with nobody on base except for the runner at first. And so as plate umpire, which was I was behind the plate, and as plate umpire, I'm supposed to get down the line. I did not get down the line quick enough. And so also I didn't communicate with my partner. I did see him motioning for me to come down, and I got down there late. And as the runner slid back into first, I started to call him out, and out of the corner of my eye, I see my partner call him safe. Because I didn't communicate, because I didn't get to where I should have quick enough, we very nearly had a situation, and I didn't call him out. I started to raise my right hand to punch him out, as my partner called him safe. But I didn't verbalize it, and I didn't get the full mechanic made, so I just kind of stood up and let it go. Now, there was a conversation, and it was just one of those deals where I had to learn.
So, full disclosure, as I'm re-listening to and editing this podcast,
and I had some more time to think about this. You know, I talked a little bit about the mistakes that I made about getting down to first base. But as the conversation ensued between my partner and the coach, who I guess you could say the call went against, I was asked to join the conversation. And here is where I made some mistakes that hopefully I will never make again. When my partner called me down, the first mistake that we made in this instance was that we should have sent the coach back to the dugout to have this conversation amongst ourselves, but that didn't happen. So when my partner looked at me and he said, "Joe, what did you have?" I kind of got caught and I didn't know what to say. And so I was just honest. I said, "Well, I had him out." This is an instance where I don't feel like I had my partner's back, and I had some time to think about this. And I really should have said something differently. I wouldn't have lied, and I don't want to lie in this instance. You never want to do that on the field. But what I should have said was, because I didn't make the full mechanic, because I didn't verbalize it, what I should have said was, my partner made a call. It was his call. And we should have left it at that. Because now I've kind of thrown my partner under the bus unintentionally. Now coach is kind of confused because I've said I got him out and he said he's got it safe. Well, we left him as safe. And so this was just one of those lumps that I took. And it was a pretty hard lump. It's kind of stuck with me since then. Going forward now, the number one thing is that we really need to send the coach back to the dugout so that way we can have this conversation, because I know it would have gone a little bit differently. You know, I would have told him that, well, and from my vantage, he was out. But because I didn't make the mechanic, we would have just made the decision that it was your call. And we would have told the coach that it was base umpire's call, and we would have left it at that.
And that was the main thing and the only thing from this game. I did feel like that I used really good timing with my balls and strikes. I did have one that I started to rush a little bit, and I almost raised my hand. And of course, you get groans when that happens. Again, this one hasn't actually happened in a while, but I did start to raise my hand, and then when I paused and I replayed it in my head, it was a ball, and so I called it as such. And I understand, you know, my mistake there, and hopefully that won't happen again. But my partner today was a 39-year veteran. I looked him up just to get his phone number to kind of pregame, or at least figure out where we're going to park and where to meet for pregame, what color we're going to wear. And so I looked, and he was a 39-year veteran, and the name looked really familiar to me. And I do recall, as I was playing high school ball, that he officiated some of my games. He was one of those names you just know in the area of that, you know, this is an official you see quite a bit. So he told me that I was only the second official that he ever worked with that he officiated for. So he had another one in another town. But we had some good conversation afterwards, and I always love to pick the brain of these guys. You know, they've been doing it a long time. And in the stands was another official who came up to us afterwards. It was a guy that I knew that I've worked with in the past that I've even talked about on this podcast. I think he's about a 26-year veteran, and it was just good to sit and talk with these guys. I did ask how my strike zone was to my partner, and he said, "I'm not just saying this to blow smoke." He said it was really good tonight. And so I felt like because of the timing that I was able to use, it turned out pretty good. Typically when you miss balls and strikes, you know, and I feel like that I was about three in the entire 7-inning game. But just to sit and talk to these guys, you know, we talked about strike zones, we talked about situations, and the first thing that the other official who was sitting in the stands come over and he says, "Communication." And I says, "Yeah, I understand. I didn't communicate well." But it was really good to sit and talk to these guys. I mean, these guys have a lot of experience, and my partner tonight, he just was really relaxed and just was really good about giving me pointers, which is always good to hear from guys that have been doing it quite a while. And these guys, you just kind of have a little bit of respect for because they've been around so long and they're still doing it. Well, that's it for this, the sixth episode of As I See It, an Umpire Podcast. I appreciate you guys listening.
like and subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Please feel free to email at asiseitpodcast1995@gmail.com. And as always, I like to leave you with a scripture verse, and this comes from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Until next time, thank you for listening.